And I thought that it should, 'cause I messed up so many times. I would laugh when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, 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 go.
Listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Well, I want to do something different. I want to teach this word, but we have a beautiful baby to bless. I want to do that first. Is that okay? Yeah, be seated for a moment. And who do we have tonight? Come on.
Pastor, we have baby DePaul Davis. The mother is Kendra, and the father is DePaul.
All right. Give me the order. Come on. One pretty baby tonight, and that's enough for me. All right. And got the father here, and the mother here, and the baby here. Come on to the middle here. We want to pray. Oh, God bless you. I'd kiss you in the face, but your father's standing here, boy. Just a beautiful baby. We thank God. I want to pray you about to cry, better hurry up so that we can make every child feel special. I'm not christening him or baptizing him. I'm simply blessing him. If anything happens and we pray and prophesy that it won't, babies go to heaven no matter what happens. So we're just Christian. We're not christening him. We're just blessing him. Father, watch over this beautiful child. Cover him in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that nothing will come his way. We pray for one beautiful wife and one set of children, prosperity and health, a good life. In Jesus' name, I bless him. I pray for him. I bless the father and the mother. Lord, bless them from the bedroom to the bank account, every area of their life. We caught it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Come on. All right. Grab your Bibles, everybody. Let's go to the book of Revelations right quick. I want to jump right in tonight. We are teaching the seven churches of Revelation. Go ahead and remain seated. That's okay. Let's jump right in tonight. Can't believe you came, and best weather day of the year. I love you for that. And I want to get into this. Who's ready for a word tonight? All right, here it is. The seven churches of Revelation. I want to touch it. Tonight, we're dealing with the church at Ephesus. Now, if you weren't here last week, we did the intro, and I don't have time to go back through all of that, but suffice it to say, Revelation should be read. It's not just mystical. It's not just in terms of symbols that you don't understand. Some older people used to actually say, stay away from Revelations. But chapter 1, verse 3 said, blessed is he who reads this book, and blessed is he who hears. So do it again. Tell your neighbor, we're about to get blessed. Go ahead. The Bible says, blessed is he who reads, and blessed is he who hears. Do me a favor now. Get it on wax if you missed the intro, because I talked about how John the Revelator got a vision from God, and Jesus told him, write these things down. Chapters 1 through 3, the seven churches, and what happens with these seven churches, and how we should see ourselves. Revelations 4 through 22, eschatological rendering. What happens at the end of time? Chapters 4 through 22. Not a teaching on the book of Revelation, but a teaching on the seven churches of Revelation. We'll see how far we go. Here it is, Revelations 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. Wow. Jesus Christ is the one who holds the ministers of the churches in his hands. That means, everybody, that the pastor, the minister of the church he's talking to, you guys know I wouldn't dare preach a sermon about me. That's the last thing on my mind. I'm just teaching the book of Revelation, and he talks about the minister here. He says that Jesus Christ holds the ministers of the churches. When the Bible says the one who holds the seven stars, put Revelations 2, verse 1 up again. Everybody read it with me. To the angel of the church in Ephesus. The angel there, by the way, is the pastor. I'm not a heavenly angel. I'm an earthly angel of the Lord. That's what the Bible calls the pastor. Not a heavenly angel. By the way, heavenly angels or earthly angels shouldn't be praised. Only Jesus should be praised. So don't let that scare you. It's what Jesus called me. It's not what I called myself. Please know, I know all of the issues I have, but in spite of my issues, the Bible calls the pastor the angel. When I grew up as a minister, I would stand up at every church and say, to the angel of this house, Pastor Smith or Pastor Johnson, to the angel of this house. I was calling him what God called him. So to the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? The one who holds the seven stars is on the screens. And which hand, everybody? How come not left hand? Right hand is what? Place of power, the sovereignty of God. The right hand represents sovereignty. To us left-handed brothers, it's beautiful. But the Bible says the right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. So that said, the pastor or the minister is on the screens, is chosen and picked out. Chosen and picked out of the world by the hand of Christ, if he's called by God. If she's called by God, they were picked by Jesus. They didn't pick themselves. Nourished and nurtured by the hand of Christ. It's placed where he or she is by the hand of Christ. Is cared for protected by the hand of Christ. Aren't y'all glad God got your pastor in his hand? Yeah, he'll take care of me. He'll make sure my children eat. Somebody puts out a threat against me, security, do your job. You're supposed to, but God got me. If anything happens, he allowed it to happen, or he didn't stop it. All right? He is given a very special closeness to Christ by being held in his hand. He's expected to be an instrument in the hand of Christ. Wow. Which means God ought to be running my life. Whatever he say, I do. I'm an instrument in his hand. He tell me to preach it, I got to preach it. He tell me to hire, I got to hire. He tell me to release, I got to release. Whatever he says do, I got to be so connected that I realize I'm in his hand. Is responsible to the hand of Christ. Here's the last one. Is to be held accountable by the hand of Christ. That's cold-blooded. Don't be up here playing no games because I'm in his hand. Man, pray for me. I'm going to continue to tell you. It is the only job in the world that I would not quit or recommend. Now think of another job like that. If I didn't preach, I'd lose my mind. If I didn't have you guys to love on, Lady Vernon would leave me because I'd be stir crazy. I'd be preaching to the couch. I got to pastor. I got to kiss you. I got to go through the ups and downs of life with you. At the same time, wouldn't recommend it to nobody in here. Stay as far away from pastoring as you can unless Jesus come in your room and make you. Don't do it for no prestige or a couple of dollars that'll be on TV. Most of us are not on TV anyway. Only 1% of churches look like this. Most have less than 100. A lot of stress, strain, and struggle in so many ways. Don't just jump in this to be seen by men. No, if he hasn't picked you, don't do it. Right away, Jesus Christ is the one who walks in the midst of the churches of the Golden Scandal. Said this means, watch this, that Christ is present, it's on the screens, in the very midst of the church. That Christ sees and knows all about the church. That Christ is present to teach and grow the church. That he's present to provide and protect the church. That Christ is present to guide. Did y'all know Jesus here right now? He's walking up and down. The scripture says, every pew, every row, watch what you wear here. Watch how you act. Not the dress up church, but just don't wear something that shows too much. You at his house. If you see a piece of paper on the floor, don't say these maintenance people are trifling. No, you pick it up. If you see something in the parking lot, this not the mall, this not Walmart, this church. This is his house. Wherever we gather, it's church. I know people make the building. We're not honoring the building. At the same time, we're not walking away from the place and space that has been hallowed by him. When we come together, it's church. When we were in John F. Kennedy High School, it was church. Yeah, when we come together, the place becomes hollow. Ought to feel different when you get out your car. Yeah, when you're walking through the parking lot, when you're coming from way over there, when you're picking up your baby, don't ever forget, carry yourself a certain way. Have a certain reverence. I'm in his house. Jesus is here. Yeah, we hear them sing, the King is here. He's here. He's here right now. Everybody say, hey, Jesus. Amen. I don't want to be no place where he's not at. Yeah, there's some churches, Ichabod is on the door. He's no longer there. The presence of God. There's some places I'm absolutely sure God is not even studying. They just getting together, fighting about nothing. Who's important? No presence, no power. Lord, let us never be that. We want you in our lives. How many people want God in your house? God in your marriage? God in your money? Wow. So he has no favorites. He shows no partiality whatsoever. There are no denominations embarrassed with Christ. He don't like Pentecostal Christians better than Baptist Christians. He don't like the Word Church more than he likes Buckwheat Baptist. Please, any place that God is, they may have 100 people, but if they are sincere, one of the things I've committed to, I'm trying, no promises, is I'm trying my best to get to a couple of other pastors' church anniversaries and pastors' anniversaries on a Sunday evening. I'm just so dead on Sunday night from preaching all these services. I normally just want to go sit down. But I want to walk into some of these churches and just celebrate the pastor who's been there 30 years. Maybe he doesn't have all of this, but he's been faithful. And I want them to say, is that Pastor Vernon in the back? And just get up and wave and drop some money on him for his day and say, I appreciate this church because we're standing on your shoulders over at the Word Church. All you churches that have been around 100 years, Word Church still got something to prove. We hot now, but will we be around 100 years from now? And that's how you make them feel like they've accomplished something with their seniority. God loves every church. Revelations 2, verses 2 and 3. Let's keep moving. Uh-oh, here it is. If you miss this, you could have just chilled at the house tonight. Outsiders, why you come if you ain't gonna pay attention? I love you. Get this, because you could have been doing homework and stuff. So get a hold of this, because I'm gonna make it where you can feel it. I know your deeds and your toil. Look what Jesus says. I'm sorry, I gotta stop one more time, parenthetically. What are you doing, Pastor? Showing us how much you know about eschatological teaching? No, no, that's seminary. Church means, what does the sermon have to do with me? I'm teaching the seven churches of Revelation. Tonight, we start with the church at Ephesus. What is the goal of the teaching, Pastor? For us to juxtapose or compare ourselves to all seven churches. What do we see good about these churches that we can pull from? And where are we guilty of maybe needing to be better as a ministry? So as we look at each church, we're looking to see, okay, I can see how the word church is that and how the word church could be better at that. Now with that backdrop, let's read this again. Here it is. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. Look what Jesus said to this church. And that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not. Found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Now that's what he says to this church. Let's unpack that one thing at a time. Number one, the church worked and labored for Christ. That's worth writing down. That's what Jesus says. They worked and labored for Christ. This was a busy church. They were not slothful. They were making it happen. They were doing it in the city. They weren't lazy. That's critical. They weren't lazy. Look at Pastor. They weren't lazy. They were doing something. There's some churches that they are open. I'm not mad. I'm not criticizing. Don't talk about what you're against. Just talk about what you're for. I'm for a church that's alive. And I go past most churches in our city. They are open Sunday at 11. Maybe tonight for a half hour. Maybe. The rest of the time, you may not see much going on. You can't say that about our church. I want to tell you a quick story. Many of you don't know this. I'm going to say 99% of you may not know this. Let me look around. Okay, when we first started our church, we were in John F. Kennedy High School. You may not know this. My first office was on 146th and Harvard. It was a little store, like a little barbershop. I went up to the old man and said, I need some place to go. I have church on Sunday. I don't know how I knew this. I said, but something tells me that I need a place to meet my leaders during the week, because even though the church is getting packed in the high school, I need a place to gather my people during the week and sort of teach and take calls and do ministry. And I just thought, I'll take this. It can hold about 60 people. That's my leaders. I got two offices, one for me and one for my little secretary. And we're going to be balls. We're going to be ballers. We're going to do it. So he said, yes, $500. I was like, yeah. Oh, I wish I still had that office. Praise God. Now we spend $500 on milk for the kids in the nursery. Praise God. But, so I get in there and I would gather my leaders, everybody. And we come every Saturday. And here's what I would do. I would teach them and inculcate the idea of leadership, because I kept telling them, we're going to be somebody. This church is going to be amazing. They were looking at me like, y'all kidding me not. But they were looking at me like, yeah, pastor's like 25 hours. No, we're going to take the whole city. People going to know us all over the world. Awesome. I said, I'm getting y'all ready now, because some of you may think, but this thing is about to say bam. And they were like, No, they were excited with me. So I decided to watch Bishop Jakes. Kudos to you if you're watching, but he was really starting to blow up at that time. He did a leadership teaching called Keepers of the Flame. And I thought, I'll show my leaders Keepers of the Flame, because I really enjoyed the teaching and I wasn't a hater, still not. I thought to myself, some of the things he said would bless our people. So I said, I'm going to show them Keepers of the Flame, and then each Saturday we'll do Q&A when it's over on what we gained from it. So Bishop Jakes was teaching, doing a great job. He said, you know what? Sometime I ride past the potter's house, and I have no idea what's going on anymore. That's how busy we are. I got up after the Q&A and said, now, I love Bishop Jakes, but let me tell you something. That is not going to happen to me. I said, I'm telling y'all, I'm keeping my hands on it. And if a roach walk across the front of this church, I'm going to know what kind of tennis shoes he got on. I'm never going to let it get away. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration and embellishment. Your church is so busy. I couldn't get my head around that, because I like to know what's going on. Well, Bishop Jakes, if you're watching, I apologize. Because I have no idea what's happening even while I'm standing here now. I don't even know where half my staff office is. That's the truth. I have no idea what time most of them come, what time they leave. I mean, I know those who connect directly to me, but there are 100, including the part-time people. I ride down to my church. I have no idea what's happening. I walk in rooms on a Saturday and walk into a meeting and say, I apologize. And say, I'm so sorry, guys. I used to be in charge around here. What are you guys doing today? But can I tell you something? I'm so happy. I don't know what's happening downtown. They doing workout classes downtown. I was like, Elder Craig, for real? Y'all like exercising for real? Like, what night is that? Boy, I used to know everything. You know why? Clap your hands. We a busy church. I know I spent a lot of time there, but outreach, you name it, small group, I promise, soccer is being played, persons are paying us to play over there. I walk into people, they don't even know who I am. I walk past wonderful Anglo people sitting over there watching their baby play soccer, they don't even know I'm the pastor. I walk by, they don't even speak. I'll be thinking, don't speak, just pay. Praise God, amen, that's all right. Y'all missed that, amen. We are busy. But not only that, everybody, can I tell y'all this? They worked and labored for Christ. The Greek word is kapon. It means to labor to the point of weariness, sweat, and exhaustion, to work and labor to the limit of one's ability. These people were working for real. I was thinking last night, meeting with the praise team, saw the same praise team people singing in Akron. They had drove from Akron to be a part of my meeting last night. Now they're worshiping in Akron. I just saw these persons late last night. Now they're on stage. They've been at work all day. They're not getting paid other than the band and those who are on staff. The others just give of themselves unreservedly. Persons are ushering so you can sit down. Somebody's watching your baby so you can have peace. Can we clap for a working church? But number two, the church patiently endured. That's another characteristic. They patiently endured. Endured what? Paul told Timothy, endure affliction as a good soldier. Everybody's going to go through something. They endured. The word means to persevere and to be steadfast in serving Christ. They were steadfast, studying and proclaiming the gospel and ministering to the needs of the needy. There's no perfect person in here, but what I thank God for is hundreds of you are steadfast, steady as you go, making some mistakes as you go, hitting some bumps, but steady. Gonna be here every weekend. Unless you're on vacation, you're coming 95% of the time. Life happening, mama going through stuff, babies, single issues, married, life not perfect, but there's never been a moment in your Christianity since you gave your life to him that you walked all the way away from him. Steady. The church was steady. There's some people, one thing happened, they threw with God. One thing happened, they mad at God. You ever heard somebody, I'm just giving up on God because you know what, I got all these bills. I'll be thinking, God didn't make them bills. And God didn't put you in this situation. As a matter of fact, God has graced you in the midst of it. How come the first person we quit is him when he the best thing ever happened to us? Endure. I know you're not perfect because I know a lot of your business, but you won't quit. They endured. They didn't quit church because somebody didn't speak or the pastor forgot to hug them that week or nobody acknowledged their ministry effort. They endured. I like this church. I like this church. Watch this. Number three, the church could not bear those who were evil. Whoa. This refers to sin and evil men who were corrupt and polluted, whose lives were antithetical to what they claimed. Now, you know what I love to say? I love what Matt King Carter said. Do not have a narrow, provincial, cognitive appropriation of this text. Don't think of it or look at it small, exegetically. In other words, they were so holy, they couldn't put up with nobody who was evil. Huh? That's not what the Bible says. You know, I'm reading the Bible so much right now. I'm rereading all the books I've been reading for 20 years like it's the first time and just came out of Romans for the second time, read that twice through. And now I'm in Corinthians. I was reading this morning when Paul talks about don't eat with a fornicator. And again, you cannot leave it out there without reading the text as a whole. Because he did not say, in other words, don't eat with nobody to sleep around. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if a brother is a believer and sleeping around, don't eat with him. The Bible does not say don't eat with sinners. How come you amazed when sick people throw up? What do sinners do? It's not a trick question. What do sinners do? So if you got a cousin, you may got to eat with this brother to get him saved. You're working with him. You're meeting with persons. I done sat with gangbangers and killers. Bros, talk about me now. I'm trying to set up meetings now with people y'all don't know in the underground to stop some of this killing. I'm not looking for the news because the revolution would not be televised. But these young brothers, they don't want television cameras, but I'm meeting and talking and doing whatever I can because, and if somebody see me with them, I saw Pastor Vernon with a killer. Well, how's he going to get saved unless I kick it with him? Are y'all listening to me? Okay, y'all looking at me funny. They looked at Jesus and said, look at him eating with sinners and publicans. Every time you saw Christ, he was with a hooker or a tax collector or a killer. Come on, talk to me, somebody. The only people he called snakes was church people. Only time he almost cussed was with church people. Snakes and vipers is close to cussing. You call me a snake and a viper, you about to call me something else in a minute. Y'all looking at me crazy. Then what is he saying? Y'all enjoying this so far? He's talking about this church wouldn't put up with people who like up there preaching and then got like his mistress as soon as he gets through preaching. So he's talking about Lady Vernon this and Lady Vernon that and three chicks on the side, everybody know he's dealing with. What is this elders all across the front and talking to everybody and everybody know he's like living this life and everybody can see it and nobody says. Now, though there's this gifted musician, but he makes service feel so great that the pastor turns the other way on what he's doing sexually. Idea that all these persons are in leadership, and again, this is not, you have to know this has probably been some of the saddest, hardest days of my ministry. You've seen me at times, maybe 5-6 times in nearly 18 years, have to get up and do something publicly. It's never easier me trying to prove how tough I am. It's the Holy Ghost saying, now if you don't handle this, you'll set a context that you can be in high leadership, and because you're in high leadership, the pastor turns his head. Too much is given. Too much is required. This church simply said, none of us are perfect because everybody in here, starting with me, has had a fall. But this church was not the type of church that you're going to be up front claiming stuff and then doing whatever you want. The church at Ephesus was handling people saying, look, now, none of us are perfect, but if we're going to do this, let's try to do this. How many of you want to be the church like that, man? I know I do. You know, or we could be the church where I'd never say anything, and, you know, then that's a whole nother extreme. What would we become then? I wonder how much you would like us if Pastor never said anything. What kind of context would that set? Number four, the church tested all the preachers and teachers of the church. Man, we're on great time today. And rejected the false. The church tested all the preachers and teachers and rejected. Again, I'm reading again. Romans 16, somewhere around verse 7, I was reading what the Bible talks about. Any person who has false doctrine or teaching something that takes you to a bad space, don't deal with them. Again, when you hear about this universalism that's happening now, this prevalent teaching, all right, Gnosticism, the extreme, all flesh is evil. Why am I telling you this? Let's set the context contextually. Come here, everybody, come here. Come here, 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 come here. What I'm telling you is this, you have to contextualize it. At the time of this writing, the church is in its infancy. In the same congregation, you have Gnostics, you have those who are committed to Orthodox Judaism, and then, of course, you have Christianity. Because previous to Christ, they thought everything was about the Father. Now Paul and the apostles and the preachers come along and say, no, we go through the Son. So imagine your grandmother for 80 years believed one thing. This was a strange time to be a Christian. Not now. I hear people talking about grace a lot on TV, and I want to shout through the television, you don't have to do that much teaching like that, because now persons kind of know, all they know is the grace of God, Jesus Christ. When you're reading Corinthians, he's teaching this whole couple of chapters on coming out of the law. Why? Because they believe something totally different. They believe the law and the commandments, and you had to wear this, and you couldn't eat this. Most of us only know Jesus Christ and grace, that Christ died for us. At that time, it was not so. There was an amalgam, a plethora of pedagogical possibilities. They thought, are you with the law people? You're with the grace people? So all kind of people were coming along, but not this church. They said, if you're not preaching Jesus and him crucified, got me thinking about when we first started. I don't know why this got me so retrospective, but I couldn't believe when we first exploded how many famous people was willing to come here. I'm a novice. I'm young. We got thousands of people. We're on TV, but I still don't really know who we are and how people perceive us. So all these famous people, my anniversary and church anniversary, and anybody we would call, yes, I'll come. And I'm thinking, you want to come here? I look back now like, of course they want to come here. bring another famous preacher Sunday night. He said, in 48 hours, it's turning around. Now I'm thinking, one of them lying for sure. It's either 24 or 48. And y'all was just dancing. Come Wednesday, 72 hours later, Pastor didn't doesn't turn around. And a couple of times I had to get up on a Wednesday and fix what was said at my anniversary, of which he said nothing about me. I'm sitting there like, can you tell the people I'm nice? He just preaching his favorite sermon and y'all shouting and falling out on my anniversary. He hasn't even acknowledged my wife and I was present. Boy, I don't let nobody come in here now. Matter of fact, the word is out. Vernon won't let you in there. Sure won't. I'll use my wonderful ministers and my sons across the nation and my friends and my spiritual papa. Nobody famous here but Jesus. Amen. Because you can preach 51 weekends and somebody more famous than you can turn somebody's mind in one weekend. So you have to be careful who you let preach. Man, I guard this place now. Honestly, I do. The church bore up under, my goodness, I got 9 minutes. I can't believe we're going to pull this off. The church bore up under all for the sake of Jesus Christ. They bore up. They held on. They had a kind of stick-to-itiveness. Wow. Revelations 2, verses 2 and 3. Let's read it from the message, everybody. You'll love this. I see what you've done, your hard work, your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage, and my cause, that you never wear out. Wow. I think I want to join Ephesus Baptist. I think I need to join Ephesus Church of God in Christ. I mean, so far, I'm looking at this church thinking, okay, matter of fact, let's look at it succinctly. It's on the screens. They bore up. They patiently endured. They labored. They did not faint. I don't know. Who in the heck wouldn't want to go there? I mean, you go to a church where they bore up, they patiently endured, they labored, they did not faint. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah said. He did an interesting study on Revelations, and I'm reading everyone as I'm preparing for you. And I think Dr. Jeremiah, one of my moody homiletic heroes, talked about these deeds that you may remember. He says they were dynamic, dedicated, determined, disciplined, and discerning. Boy, you can't forget that. To succinctly sum it up, they were dynamic, dedicated, determined, disciplined, discerning. Who in the heck wouldn't want to go to that church? They were all of that. I'm thinking to myself, can I tell you in essence what many scholars call this church? They all have some nicknames. Can't wait to get to Smyrna next week. Bring somebody. Watch this. The commended church. So far, I don't care what you say. All Christ has done is commend them. Man, you don't put up with people in leadership who are doing whatever they want. You work hard. You're not slothful. You guard who comes in. You don't quit because some man broke up with you or life not right or your parents dropped you or your bills didn't work and nobody flirting with you. You ain't just quit church because church not working. No, you stayed with Christ. Talk about a church I want to go to. Talk about a church I want to mirror. Wow. I'm thinking, easiest sermon I've ever done. They are the commended church. It's over. I'm telling everybody, let's be like Ephesus, church number one on the list. Data bomb diggity. It's cool in the gang. Let's go home. And then I get to verse 4. But, conjunction, junction, worship. I'm like, why? Why? Oh, Christ, you smooth. How you gonna compliment me for 25 minutes right before you cuss me out? It's almost like this positive, negative, positive. All of you know how we teach. Those of you that are married, if you don't learn this, you'll be divorced soon. I want you to understand, you always start off positive. Baby, your hair is beautiful. And the way you've been cooking for the kids, absolutely. I can't think there's a better mother in the whole nation. However, baby, that spaghetti was terrible yesterday. But however, the sandwich before that was beautiful Monday morning. You go right back to positive. Everybody say positive, negative, positive. That'll help you in all communication with every person, every horizontal relationship. If you have to say something, I try my best with the team members, with my wife, with my children. You start positive, say what you need to say, and then end. This is exactly what Christ did right here. He said, I love you guys. You're doing great. But I have one thing against you. You left your first love. Wow. You left your first love. Okay, okay. look at it in the NLT, the NLT. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. The Message version. But you've walked away from your first love. Why? Young people, peep this. What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste. For I'm well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. I wish that was the Old Testament. I wish that was the Old Testament. I hate that's right there, because you can't run and say that's before grace. He said, I'm not playing with y'all. Hate to remove somebody or something you love out of there to get your attention back to me. Hate to bring somebody to heaven or do something to wake you up and let you know that I gotta be first. Wow. So we go from Christ's commendation, 4 minutes to do this, to Christ's complaint. Wow, to Christ's complaint. He had a complaint. I know he has a few about our church. I know he does. I'm going to learn during these few weeks of teaching, because I see ourselves. I see myself in so many ways here. Maybe you'll see yourself here, because the church and its believers had lost their feelings for Christ. The Greek says your love, your first love. Believers had their first love. They were putting themselves and their own affairs first. They were putting the church first. Because you singing three times a week don't mean Christ first. Some of you sing because it's a Beyonce filming in front of 2,000 people. You sing because church is better than your house right now. You sing because at least you feel a euphoria. I'm not saying that you, but there are many of us preaching because, come on now, other than a rock concert, where you going to get this kind of adrenaline at? So just because you're preaching or because you're in front of people, because you're ushering three times a week, that don't mean you love them like you used to. You're even hiding in church, but you're not hiding in me. Yeah, they had lost their feelings of warmth. It's on the screens. And tenderness for Christ. Their sensitivity to Christ. They had lost their spark, their unction. They were not fellowshipping and communing or praying or sharing with Christ like when they were first converted. They were not walking in a consciousness and awareness of Christ's presence, joyful and rejoicing in him throughout the day. I gotta go. Let me bring it to you now. From antiquity to modernity to you, because this is not seminary. If I was teaching seminary students, we just talk about this whole theological praxis of understanding eschatological hope and all of that. This is not seminary, this church. Average person want to know what this sermon got to do with me. Not just historicity or you telling me about ancient texts. I need to know, Pastor, every time I walk in here, what it got to do with me. If you've been waiting, here it is right here. All I came to tell you tonight, what I'm going to gain from the church at Ephesus, is that I can be doing a whole lot of good stuff for God and still be breaking his heart. That God just don't want my money and my gift, though he wants both. He wants my heart. He wants me to think about him and cry. And not just when my baby die. And not just when my husband cheat. And not just when my wife breaks my heart. And not just when mama got cancer. And not just when they think they're going to put me out of my house. And not just when tragedy comes. He wants me to think about him on a regular day and say, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. He said, you lost. And I want to challenge some elders and staff person. Please check your title at the door. You know Pastor don't care about that. As I check mine at the door, let's just all be Christians right now, because your title means nothing to me. I cover pastors and train them. They struggling in their marriages. I got pastors who don't pray in the morning. Got big old churches. I'm like, did you pray this morning? You're so busy planning for your day and the masses. And I understand how busy you are. I've been there. There have been seasons of my ministry where I was so busy trying to get ready for you guys that I missed him. I had a meeting at 7, didn't pray, stayed up all night dealing with stuff, thinking about my next move, planning, strategizing. I still have to guard it. But now I'm not 27, I'm 47, and I understand that heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will stand, that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And so now I guard my time with him. This morning at 5:30, that girl will tell you I tried to go back. I knew I had a long day. I tried to sleep to at least 6:30 on Wednesday. I'm about to tell you that I won't tell you tonight, but how God keeps opening doors for this little project boy, and how God is continually doing miracles. Every time I think he's done, he do something else for me. So I got up and ran. They all here. They don't even wake up no more when I pray for them. I've been doing it so long. Laid hands on all of them that was in the house, except Sinead's door was locked. I started to kick it in and pray for her too. But she had her door locked. I have to touch the door. Lord, I can't get in, but you know my heart. Praise God. Bless my daughter too. The rest of them, they're not 18. They can't lock doors. Or Ray 19, but he ain't old enough to lock a door either. Matter of fact, Sinead, open your door too. I'm taking a lock off that in the morning. Praise God. You don't pay enough bills to lock your door. Praise God. Now I'm coming here. But I ran in all them rooms and got the laying hands and getting into the master's face. Because I remember when I met Lady Vernon, oh, I'm out of time. Watch this. Y'all tired of me? Yes, y'all are. I remember when I met Lady Vernon, and I'll never forget our first date. It was Captain Frank's. It's my story. I'm sticking to it. I spent a dollar. It was a dollar date. Yeah. Because we kept talking. And we had Captain Frank's talking, looking at the water, talking 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And I knew I was going to marry while I was talking to her. Only woman I've ever loved, only woman I love now, only woman I've ever loved in my life. And I'm talking to her thinking, I love her. I want to kiss her and make a baby with her and go to church with her. I mean, lust, love, all the things you should have when you know you found your wife. This is what I'm teaching. It's physical stuff going on, mental, spiritual. We're just connecting everywhere. And we talked. And she took me home because I was ghetto. And she was ghetto. She picked me up because I didn't have a car. She was 2 years older than me. She was in college. I'm just out of high school. I just called her and said, hey, God told me you're my wife, but I ain't got no car. Come pick me up. Praise God. So please know she was ghetto. Y'all tell her when y'all see it, too. Say, Lady Vernon, you did not do it the right way, but it worked out all right. But I want y'all to catch this, because she ain't picking me up. Nah, player, player. Oh, she got a couple cars. Nah, player, player. Which one you driving today, girl? I was a good young investment. Stop laughing. I have to dismiss in a minute. I loved her, my first love, and I could think about her. And 20 years later, catch me now, it's a mature love. We still laugh. Nothing's right. I got to preach in North Carolina tomorrow. The night won't be finished till I call her. As soon as they put me, whatever they're going to put me in some car to take me back to the hotel, I'll be on the phone before I get in the car. Good. It was thousands of people. We sold all the books. I met a lot of people. They all said, hi, I tell Lady Vernon we love her. We watch her on TV. The night's not finished till I talk to my girl. Long as I live, my first love, and I always came away of a perfect thing. 35 and over. For lovers only. For lovers only. Not 107. You won't hear this on 107. This is 93 FM, 88. Stop laughing. But I have to fight to stay there with her now. Because we've been married and had babies and miscarriages and heartaches and heartbreaks, and we know each other, and I wouldn't want to be with anybody else, but we fight. You can grab this for marriage too. The same illustration about Christ is that I have to fight to make sure that I never get too used to her. I just called her in the car on my way here flirting with her. I said, I was just thinking about you in the car. That's all I can tell y'all about that. Praise God. Amen. I was just thinking because, but can I tell you this, there's nothing like the first time you meet. I tell couples, the love will mature, but there's nothing like when you first hook up. There's nothing like that stupid feeling when you can't breathe. And la, 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 la. You know what I'm talking about. It matures, but when you first fall off, eating off the same fork and all that same plate, stay married 20 years, order your own food. I want mine. No, baby, I just eat yours. No, get your own pancake. I want all my pancakes. All the married people, throw your hand up. Baby, I ain't going to order. I just eat what you know. I want all mine. That's why I ordered mine. Now, how many you want? I'll get you six of them, but this one mine. You see, when you're dating, y'all just eating with each other. 20 years, what you want? No, get her what she want, because I want all mine. Elder Craig, don't laugh. Drita do that. I know Drita do that. I eat with you, baby. No, eat with yourself. I want all mine. I need three pancakes, not two. That's why I got three. Hey, goodbye. How you feel about Jesus? When the last time you thought about him and cried? I'm jealous of new members. I'm jealous of former Muslims and bros from the penitentiary and bros who have PhDs but know Christ and hear about this love of Jesus at 25, 35. And come walking down the aisle with these crocodile tears and go in the back, and they're running around with their white shirt and their beige pants when they graduate P2P, and they walk in and say, Pastor, I graduated, and I'm thinking, I've been knowing them since 86, baby. them so that I'm not guilty of him not being my first love. He says, Pastor Vernon, you preach well, but I'm not your first love. Thousands have been saved because of your ministry, but am I your first love? You preach well, you talk good, you know all the religious mantras and all that, but unlike all of them, R.A., I see you. I know how you feel about me. I know how much you talk to me. I'm not talking about how you look ostensibly in the crowd and jump around and praise and minister and come. Do you love me like you used to? God says, I want you back. I want you to love me like you love me. I want you to cry when you think about me. I want you at the altar. Have you ever been at church and somebody on your row was crying and you was mad you couldn't? Have you ever been at church and you saw a person feeling God and you were thinking, I can't lie, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. I don't feel that. You ever seen somebody worshiping on your row? And wasn't nothing wrong with them. Nobody had cheated on them. Nobody had hurt them. They were in worship. Because I was watching a brother Monday, and I meant to tell him to. I know him. When I see him standing right here, he was standing right here Monday night. Some of you may remember him. And worship was going on, Mark. And you were worshiping our men's praise team. And this brother was up at the front row. And I watched him. And, of course, I'm not in that space because I got to teach. So pastors are the worst worshipers when we got to teach. And anybody who has to teach, you're not going to worship that day. Get over that. Because you're trying to maintain what you have to say. That's why you have to worship in your private space. And go to conferences and get away from your church, because when you have to preach, you're not going to be the best worshiper. Let me tell you that now. You think about it. But this brother was at the altar, and he was crying. He was just, he wasn't looking at nobody. And I was just looking at him, standing right there. And it was real. He was just, you know, not for no girl, not because I'm watching the game or not. He was just going. And I seen tears coming down. And he was just, I'm like, oh. He didn't know his pastor was jealous. A godly jealous, thinking, I wish I didn't have to preach tonight so I could just be free with this brother. When the last time you worshiped like that? John gives us three things we should do if you want to get that back. He says, number one, remember. I remember Captain Franks, all of you whose marriages are tough right now, you can always get divorced, but you can't always stay married. All couples remember that. Divorce is 12 minutes now on the internet. You don't even need money if you really want to do it. Anybody can get divorced. Every couple that tells me we're going to get divorced, I say, fine, I'm not the relationship police. But just let Pastor tell you this, you can always get divorced, but you can't always stay married. So if you still want to get divorced, you can do that in 6 more months. Right now, why don't y'all go home and remember what it was you liked about each other? There was something about that girl you liked. I know sometimes somebody got pregnant, we moved too fast, we ain't know Christ. But in many cases, in most cases, there was something you loved about them. Find that again. I still see Lady Vernon like that little college girl I saw, Captain Franks, I promise y'all. And she looks better to me now, right this second. I like her better, love her better, everything's better because I'm determined not to let it get old. Remember how it was. But then repent. Repent. And just so I can sleep tonight, and we're going home on this, just so I can sleep tonight, I need to undergird that with scripture, okay? Okay? Yeah, let me read it to you. Because Revelation 2 verse 5 says, do you have any idea how far you've fallen? Turn back. Matter of fact, I want to read it from the NASB and let's go home. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen. There's remember. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you. Wow. So what do? You remember, then you repent. Look at repent, everybody. Repent does not mean, I'm so sorry. Repent means, I'm done with you now. I'm going the other way. So some people repent. It means to go the other way. Some people say, I'm sorry, but they don't repent. Lord, forgive me. I'm caught up in this guy right now. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm not going to let him go right now, but Lord, forgive me because I want to be right. You asking for forgiveness, but you're not repenting. Repenting is we not married. I'm married, and you shouldn't be with me. I'm done with this. I'm not smoking that. I'm not saying that. I repent. I'm going this way now. repent and go the other way. That's what repent means. Don't just say, I'm sorry. I taught you this a million times, because satisfied flesh is always sorry. That's one of the best things I've ever taught you. Whenever you're satisfied, you're sorry. Whenever you get through sinning, you're thinking, I'm through with you. I'm done. I can't do this no more, because you're satisfied. But God says, repent and go the other way. Then lastly, return. Say return. Repeat and return. Go back to doing what you used to do. Go back to getting on that altar. Go back to ignoring your children in the morning. Waking up before they get up. If you have small children, be a big girl and wake up an hour before them. Nobody cares about your schedule. God said, get up, girl. You know you got small kids. Meet me. Go to bed on time. Get up on time. Because I need you before they get you. I need you before your husband gets you. I need you before Instagram gets you. I need you before your text gets you. Now, if you're going to meet me at night after they go to bed, that's fine. You're going to meet me in the morning, but you got to have some time with me and you love each other. Stand up, everybody. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Throw your hands up and tell him. Throw your hands up and tell him. Come on. Throw your hands up. Come on. Tell him, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Come on. Tell him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Next week, I teach on the church at Smyrna. I think you want to be here. Bring your mama. I want to hug her this weekend. Jesus loves you, and I do too. Remember, repent, and return, and consider yourself dismissed. Let's worship, praise team. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I don't want.
I don't want.
Low down, dirty, get on my track.
let me tell you what I do. I get down on my knees and I begin to talk to the Lord. I say, Lord, I need you. Feel me a fish love. 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 When my enemies, when they get all around me, don't you let them bother me, Lord. Feel me a fish love.
Since 6 a.m. this morning, KAYT has presented the gospel.